Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend. I turn the music up. I got my records on. I shut the world outside until the lights come on. Maybe the streets.
34 after the hour. After listening to Doug, Jen, and Victoria with a focus on good news. Let's go back to the good news, maybe quasi-good news. It depends on your point of view as to whether or not you think this is good. I happen to think it's good. The Federal Appeals Court in Washington said to the Justice Department yesterday, no, 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 no. You do not have the right to mandate Microsoft turning over email data that's stored overseas. Department of Justice issued a warrant for emails from a customer in Ireland. Microsoft said, no, 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 no. And then they sued the federal government, saying search warrants don't apply to data stored outside this country. I thought it was kind of balsamy, if you will. Is that a word? Want to check that out, someone? Karen,
balsamy?
Check out.
Balsamy? So you balsamy, say the LM in there, other, or,
no,
you know.
Really?
Bum.
The idea that the United States thinks it can bully other countries around. Microsoft does business overseas, has offices in Ireland and elsewhere. And because the federal what's-his requirement is that we know everything about everybody, Microsoft said, no, we're not going to give you this data. It doesn't apply because we're an American company. That's fine. You can give us a search warrant for something going on in America, but you can't give us a search warrant for something that's outside the country. So the court agreed with that. The ruling, certainly a big win, good news for Microsoft and also the other big tech companies who say they would lose foreign customers because the people in these countries, with good reason, fear that our government is snooping on them. The Department of Justice handed their head, in a manner of speaking. They've been fighting with all these tech companies for quite a while. I remember the fight with Apple over getting the information about the guy from San Bernardino. They didn't do too well there either, did they? So I think it's time that these be. Now you could say, well, this is kind of contradictory, Doug, because you just said we have to do something about all these terrorists and following around. We need to have data on them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't hold with this way. You have your own ability to snoop around. Don't be going into private companies to do your work for you. You got all that technology that we pay for as taxpayers. Use it.
And isn't it just safe to say that everybody, businesses, governments, people, everybody is snooping on everybody else at this point? Is there any surprise about that?
No, not at all. Here's some more good news, in a manner of speaking. Those of you who are in the oil business, things are looking up. Because the supply of oil is going down. A lot of these oil workers that work for the U.S. energy companies were on the lam, if you will. They were all, I think there were like 100,000, 170,000 oil and gas jobs that went away in the last couple of years because the price of oil went. You knew that, right? The price of oil went. That's where it went.
I heard that noise, yes.
Anyway. Now the situation turned around, serious worker shortage. Isn't it amazing how this happens? One day, this is kind of like the government or the news cycle. Here today, gone tomorrow, right? Okay, so you lose your job today. It's like my sister, who's 72 years old, all right? She was told last year by Delta Airlines that she couldn't work anymore, that she'd gotten to the point where she can't lean over or she couldn't pass some kind of physical test because she had her knee replaced and she couldn't lean down or some other nonsense. So they said, see you later, alligator. Guess what? Last month, they called her up and said, hey, how'd you like to come back to work?
Just kidding.
Yeah. All that stuff we said, just, you know.
Yeah, forget
refresh.
About it. So next week, she's back on a plane. She went back. She says, I'm going back to work. I'm going to see. And I knew she was going to. I told her not to quit, and she never did quit. She stopped because they told her that they couldn't use her anymore.
Oh, she's a flight attendant?
She's a flight attendant.
Oh.
Been a flight attendant for 40.
That is kind of a stressful job, though.
Nah.
I mean, that's.
Nah, she loves. She's not a stressful job at all for her. Are you kidding? All right, let's see what else. We got to do sort of people in the news, don't you think? Heidi Klum.
Klum.
Her too. Anyway, so Heidi, whatever her last name is, being the K-L-U-M.
Plum Klum,
says that she loves being in love. She's a lover. But she's not going to get married again. She says she likes to love like she likes to shop. I love life. I love love. Apparently, she has a relationship with this guy, Anthony. Is it Kiedis? Is that how you pronounce him? The Red Hot Chili Peppers?
No, that's not her current boyfriend.
Oh, it's not.
Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They did have a relationship. But he apparently recently brought it up somewhere in an interview, and they were never public about it. I never knew they were dating.
I never knew either. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So how old is she?
How old is Heidi?
In her 40s. Don't you think early 40s? She looks great. Whatever.
How many times she been married?
Phenomenal. Twice?
Yeah.
She was with Seal for a really long time.
Right. Yeah. I remember that. So is it just that some women and some men don't want to settle down? They just, for their lives, they sort of play the field, maybe spend a year or two or three or four with somebody, and they find, yeah, okay. Is that the natural way? Are we expecting too much?
Well, she's been married twice. I mean, she was married twice. She doesn't need any money. No. So it's not like she needs to get married for financial stability.
What a horrible thing to say. People get married for money?
Well, I think once you've been divorced twice, I don't think she needs to get married.
But, what a statement is that? What kind of a statement is that? Seriously, that people need to get married because they need money.
Get married for all kinds
people
of reasons.
People do that. It's not what I would want to do, but it's what a lot, some women do that. They
people
look
get married
for
money, stability. I mean, you get a
real
lot
estate.
Of daddy complexes out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
But, I think that for her, back to her situation, when you're in the public spotlight and the way the tabloid media is, it's just as annoying as like the regular mainstream media. Yeah. And they're fighting, they're trying to capture you all the time at your weakest. And so if she goes, gosh, if there's another chance, I have to go through a public divorce again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's difficult. It's hard enough to go through a divorce in private life, but to do it in front of everybody.
And she has little kids, so she probably doesn't want to put them through that.
So
more.
Do you think that's why Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner have put their divorce on hold?
No, I think she really loves him, and I think
Jennifer Garner.
Absolutely. I think she really loves him. I think he really loves her. I think he was in his addiction, and so she said, "Look, here's the ultimatum: marriage is over if you don't stop screwing up." And he probably screwed up again, and she had to follow through on her word. But I think that they probably really love each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Today on App Check, VidRhythm. Video sample yourself and your friends, then let VidRhythm mash it into a crazy video remix. Lame name, fantastic app. You'll love VidRhythm. It's a hit.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Everybody's heard of worker burnout, but have you ever heard of kid burnout? Happens a lot with very gifted children. Here's the social science of it. Case study, a gifted 15-year-old violinist on his way to a great career. Then one day he quits, never picks up a violin again. It's sort of like a midlife crisis at age 15. What happened?
Tell me and I'll kiss you.
When kids are young, they think like kids. Learning is fun. But when they hit puberty, we expect them to be more logical, more adult-like. As a result, many kids no longer enjoy those things which once gave them pleasure. What's the cheap psychological trick? Well, don't be so quick to push your kids to grow up. If you do, you may be pushing your child away from the things they love to do. Comments? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. And this edition of...
I'm not going to do that again.
Episodes of...
Try and take a picture while I'm going 70. That's something I wouldn't do. That and ride behind a dump truck. I'm not going to do that again.
Today on American Biker Minute.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Biker Minutes.
I'm not going to do that again.
Do what?
Probably take my camera out and try and take a picture while I'm going 70. I see people doing it, but it's not something you ought to do. That and answering cell phones. I did take a picture while I was riding, but I've never tried to talk on my cell phone. But I've seen people do it. That's something I wouldn't do. That and ride behind a dump truck. Give those dump trucks some room.
Your passport to the open road on two wheels.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
He's the first player to return to the NBA after a kidney transplant, and his Memorial Day miracle shot helped lead the San Antonio Spurs to their first world title.
Into Sean Elliott. He fires the three.
So where is Sean Elliott now? After retiring in 2001, Sean worked for NBC, ABC, and ESPN before settling in as color commentator for local TV broadcast in San Antonio. The Spurs honored Sean in 2005 by retiring his jersey. Sean made headlines in 2012 when Sacramento Kings player DeMarcus Cousins confronted Sean after Sean criticized DeMarcus on air for trash talking. Looks like Sean Elliott's on a mission to stop trash talking. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
So I'm sitting eating my stale peanut butter sandwich and reading the Denver paper from yesterday. And doggone if there isn't a gender study in review on the front page of the paper. And I didn't know this in the last hour, Victoria, when you and I and Kara were talking about how to fix the problem. But the first paragraph of this gender studies presentation refers to what was studied, the reference to toxic masculinity. And that, Jennifer, comes back around to us discussing what it is that really changes things. What is going to happen or have to happen to change all of this stuff? And you probably saw in the LA Times, as I did yesterday, Jen, the rehashing of the Rodney King study,
right,
of what you saw that in the and the suggestion, the solutions to the violence. When you look at how many officers in any number of these cases are men, you have to think, or at least the progressive mind would think, okay, what's the counter to all men in the police force? More women. And then you look at business and you look at world affairs, and there are very few women involved. And so this is an ongoing theory that's sort of just surfacing the past month or so for me, and something that I've been talking about a lot on this program. Whether it has value for you or not, it still is something worth thinking about. The 120 police that used the force on Rodney King, none of them were women. None of these scenarios that have happened in the last week, the last month, the last year, involve women police officers.
Although they were looking for not necessarily a woman police officer, but I think in Baton Rouge, they were looking for a woman driver who was involved with the two shooters.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think this you can narrow it down. I mean, I think women are usually the exception in situations like this.
Yeah.
I don't know that the people that are targeting cops care at this point, whether they're male or female cops. They just might happen to be male cops because that's what's out there.
No, I'm saying the perpetrators of these things are men, and that the reason that the men are angry is because they've been treated badly by other men. That's what the theory is. And you then look at Trey, more and more, for a while, there were a lot of women who were trying to get into the police department, police work. But now, because of all the negative publicity from the news media about these sorts of things, whether they're good men or women, they're standing back and saying, wait a minute here. I don't know that I really want to do this for a living.
Yeah.
So
I guess I don't know. I just I understand what you're saying. I'm just more focused on the people that are targeting and shooting police officers. I think right now, I mean, it secondarily is the issue with the police force. Right now, we have to stop the people from shooting willy-nilly at cops who are good, bad,
and
different.
How are you going to do that?
And that's the question. How do we do it?
Them?
That's no. What's the solution? I mean, so much of it, I think, boils down to the fact that we aren't raising strong men anymore as a society, that we don't let men have a place. We're not training them. You know, and I've taken great advantage of it. And I think Victoria and Kara probably have too. And that is that we are all graduates of a system that have put a big emphasis on raising strong women. And we've had a lot of focus paid attention to us as women. But I think the downside to that is that what happens to men? Are men being trained to be good men in society anymore?
What happens
and
to
I
men
think
is...
the answer is no. I don't think that. I think they don't have a place when there are so many strong women. What do men do? Do they still hold the door for
but
us?
But the strong
do
women are not
still. Are they still encouraged to be breadwinners and have motivation in life?
They are not in positions of power. Strong women are not yet enough of them in positions of power to have a to make.
I'm
a difference.
Talking about culturally right now. What men like young men? Because we're talking about groups of angry men who are 20 years old. They're in their 20s, 20s yep. to 30s, and it's before power takes place for both men and women generally. And so the question for me is, what about those guys? How did they get so angry?
Yeah,
and
do,
how do we solve
yeah,
that?
I
Are you kidding?
Well.
Look at the education system, how it's fallen. Look at Los Angeles. Why wouldn't you be angry? If I went to the schools in Los Angeles and came out of there with the results that those people have, I'd be angry as hell.
Well, here's
wasting 12 years of my life.
Only 50% of men are graduating high school now.
Hello.
So what's happening? That's in LA Unified. And I think the answer is that there are, and this is no task. I was raised by one too, but there are a lot of single moms out there. There are a lot of dads who take off. I was lucky that even though my parents got divorced, my dad wanted to stay really active. There's a lot of men that just take off and they don't want to take responsibility for their families.
So how do we fix that?
I think that's where we need to start focusing the attention. And I think the rest falls into place because women are on track
to
be in
roles of power. We are paying attention to it, but it's not what we're doing isn't working because obviously
we've got a problem. So often single women end up marrying the system rather than marrying a spouse, you know, and so they become supported by the...
What a great expression. Wait a minute. Say that again.
Women end up marrying the system more than they do end up marrying a spouse.
Because it's easier to get along.
But I think then they're on the take.
Wait, what do you mean marrying the system?
Wait a minute, no.
What
this
does
is
that mean?
Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
I'm not I haven't gotten there yet, so explain it to me. I feel that there's brilliance here, but I want to understand it better.
You should always
I can admit when I don't get something.
What I'm saying is that women tend to, and this is, look, not all women. This is single women. Mm-hmm. When there is a lack of a spouse or when the father takes off or when the father is simply just a sperm donor, the mother ends up having to get into bed with the government by getting welfare, by getting food stamps, by getting free public education.
Yep.
The
yep.
government becomes her spouse because the man that's
Got
supposed
it.
To be there and the breadwinner has taken off.
Amazing.
And so
yes.
that's when you do rely on. Then you hear
and
the police chief
true.
In Dallas.
Yeah.
Who says, you know, well, the police now have to be the fathers for
right,
single mothers.
Yep. All
and,
right.
you
Food
know,
for thought.
Yeah.
Let's stop it right. Hold it right there. Give everybody a chance to catch their breath and the idea.